One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice. We're daily, Monday through Friday, with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. As we always do on the show, we'll wrap up by connecting the dots, talking about the week that was. A jobs report coming at you. We started the week talking TUSD. Big TUSD news broke in on this station yesterday about Dr. Mark Stegeman resigning from the board as of yesterday. And then also we'll talk about the ever in the news these days, Prop 205, as we close out the week. But first, Nicole Dahl of the Hotel McCoy is on to talk Arizona Art Fest and the one-year celebration of Hotel McCoy. Nicole, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. This is
super.
Awesome.
Let's get you a little closer to the mic, okay. And that way we can hear your radio voice, because you have a background in radio.
When I was 18, I simultaneously hosted a show called Keeping the Faith that was Christian music, and Between the Sheets, which was nighttime music. It was a
interesting
contrast. It's called being the low totem pole, and you just get what you get.
Oh man, and you got both ends of the spectrum.
But I feel like faith and passionate love are both very important things, so I was very proud of my work.
Oh man, you know, by the end of this, we might come up with like a monthly show or something we'll do every month.
Right,
the vibe is good.
Where we just do Christian music and like soulful. Marvin Gaye?
I mean,
combo?
That's not what I was proposing, but there's already the idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm used to, but I can expand my horizons for sure.
Oh, man. Nicole, you and I have done a little bit of work with our common friend Brink and Vantage West Credit Union, and we got to sit down at Hotel McCoy and talk about the hotel that you have brought here to Tucson, the innovative concept. And I saw this week about the Arizona Art Fest, and I wanted to talk with you about it. But let's go back just a step.
Sure.
And talk about Hotel McCoy. And you were on the leadership team. Tell us about what you do and what Hotel McCoy is all about.
So my title is creative director and general manager. But lately, thanks to Lynette Lopez, who is the assistant general manager, I've got to focus a lot more on the creative side, because she pretty much runs the hotel. So Hotel McCoy started with the idea of making a place that you could experience your destination. So you go to Tucson and you experience Tucson in your hotel, rather than just staying in like a random box that could be in any city. So how we do that is by local beer, local wine, local art. And then what makes our hotel super special is our art program is commission free. So a lot of times when you display your art somewhere, the gallery or the place that's displaying it for you will take a cut, because art curation takes time. So anywhere from 30 to 60%. And at Hotel McCoy, we don't. So whatever people buy, the artist gets the full price, which is pretty special.
That's incredible. And you talk about I forget the exact line. This is off the top of my head,
yeah.
But kind of a travel and staying experience for everyone.
Travel for all.
Travel for, there we go.
Yeah.
See, I remember the concept,
yeah.
Travel for all, but also a celebration of place, a celebration of Tucson.
All sorts of catchphrases at Hotel McCoy. Travel for all is one. And, travel for all is one. And then experience your destination is the other. So we want people to come stay with us, but we push them out to do things in the community that we think are important and special. So in our guidebook, we've partnered up with several different experiences in Tucson, from a helicopter ride to a wine tasting tour to going to Crooked Tooth and getting $1 off your pour. And the people we partner with, we get to know first and make sure that they're like real Tucsonans, super friendly, happy, kind.
And if I remember correctly, the wine, the coffee, the beer, all of that is sourced locally. I mean, you try to have a relationship locally where you're sourcing from and supporting local businesses, but you
right.
are one as well.
Yeah, so every beer that we serve is a Tucson craft beer, and every wine is Arizona. And our coffee's from Presta, our tea's from Maya. We're about to bring in Tucson Tamale. So yeah, we try just if we can support a local business, obviously it has to be economical, but Tucson businesses are really smart and they keep their prices so that local businesses can support them, which I think is really important to note. So we are able to do that because of the sort of camaraderie that we have in Tucson business.
For sure. I got to tell you, Nicole Dahl, Hotel McCoy, I see a lot of social media around Hotel McCoy as being my friends doing staycations at Hotel McCoy.
Yeah.
That has to be pretty cool to see the Tucson community staying and relaxing and participating with what you've put together there on the west side of the 10, on the west side of Tucson.
Right. The only reason that we were able to survive the summer was because of the support of Tucsonans. And so whenever I see someone taking a staycation, I probably awkwardly give them a hug and thank them because it really is community support that allows this business to thrive and allowed us to keep everyone employed and make it through the summer. We offer in the summer, we do something called Sunday Staycation Special, where every Sunday we'll announce like some crazy special for locals only, anywhere from 50% off a night to like 20% off on a bottle of champagne. And I think changing that up every week really got people excited, like, what's it going to be this week? So it was a pretty cool summer, and it was our first one, and it went pretty well, so we'll definitely do it again next year.
Tucson, if you're listening and you want an inexpensive weekend away where you get to be a tourist in your own city, Hotel McCoy is a great place to do that. They're hosting the Arizona Art Fest this weekend. And one of the participants is Why I Love Where I Live, a common friend of ours, which also happens to be our Friday Live Line sponsor. So when you call 790-2040 to be a part of our conversation today, that Live Line is the Why I Love Where I Live Live Line. They too are an organization that helps Tucsonans appreciate where they live. So I love the partnership, and yeah, we were all excited to talk to you here on the air.
Why I Love Where I Live is such a cool concept because I have moved to places before and not fallen in love, and just really the idea of wherever you live, you're going to fall in love with it, and showcasing all the positive aspects of the city. And we had talked to them a few months back about doing a Why I Love Where I Live room in Hotel McCoy because we have a lot of artist rooms. And they have so many cool designs. And so Arizona Art Fest was kind of the push we needed. So we're like, let's do this. So they're going to design their very own room, and it's going to debut at the festival on Saturday.
Wonderful. And they're also on the west side of
the west side's
of Tucson.
Coming up.
The west side's coming up. West side is the best side.
Exactly.
It really is. We're going to get into the Arizona Art Fest in more detail, in our next segment. We've got about 2 minutes left for this one. Give us the 30,000-foot view of the Arizona Art Fest, hosted out of Hotel McCoy, celebrating your one-year anniversary being stood up here in Tucson. Congratulations. What's the 30,000-foot look at the fest?
So the festival is going to take 12 hotel rooms and transform them into tiny venues. We have two music rooms, so you might walk into Brian Lopez doing a concert, or you might walk into a mural room and Jessica Gonzalez is painting a mural on the wall, and that mural will stay there permanently. You might walk in and see the comedy room sponsored by Tucson Comedy. There's just going to be 4 hours of comedians doing stand-up all night. Esteban Osuna is an incredible designer. He's had his work shown at the Tony Awards. He'll have a fashion show in one of the rooms. So you'll get there, you get a program and a map, you walk around, you can check out all the venues. There's stuff going on the lobby, food trucks as well.
Exciting. We're going to get into it when we come back from the break. Let's do this, Tucson. Call into our Why I Love Where I Live Live Line, and let's see if we can pick Nicole's brain on a great place to, when you're not at the Arizona Art Fest this weekend, to eat or drink or do something fun. You have a great pulse of what's here.
Sure.
Locally. Pick Nicole's brain, and then also encourage you to be a part of this art fest October 5th. Tomorrow from 7 to 11 p.m. It cools off. The sun goes down. Hotel McCoy, beautiful spot there on the west side. Tucson, we'll be right back to talk more about this art fest with Nicole Dahl, heads up creativity at Hotel McCoy. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back. It is Friday. You made it through the week. and we are happy to be wrapping it up with you here on the program. I'm your host, Zach Yenster. We talk about people and ideas that are a part of Tucson's past and present and future. And one of those individuals I'm excited to introduce to the Creative City Show is J. Kaiser Workspaces as a new sponsor partner. It's a good way to end the week by announcing a new partner of the show. J. Kaiser Workspaces is a full service commercial furnishing and interior design firm in Tucson, and CEO and founder Jessica Kaiser is really the real deal, leading one of Inc. 5000's fastest growing companies in the world right here in Tucson. They're looking to grow their team of creative, smart, and hardworking designers passionate about designing workspaces that work. So whether you lead a company that needs your workspace optimized for results, or you're listening, you go, hey, I would love to help them design workspaces. I want to be a part of the team. Call now at 520-488-8978. Excited to have them on board. But back to the conversation at hand. We have Nicole Dahl in studio with us of Hotel McCoy. We're talking about the Arizona Art Fest that's happening. That is also a celebration of your 1 year anniversary in Tucson. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we decided 1 year anniversary sounds really cool, but second and third, not so much. So let's just go ahead and change it and launch Arizona Art Fest. So this is our pilot year, and we're hoping to grow it into something pretty huge where hopefully we use all 93 hotel rooms.
Right. And just to catch listeners up who maybe jumped in part of the way through last segment, the idea is that there are artists, musicians, creatives, painters, designers, you kind of name it, that are taking over some of the hotel rooms.
Yeah. So Lynette Lopez is our AGM, and she came up with the idea that kind of sparked all this and said, hey, what if we open up our artist rooms and let people walk through? And at the same time, I was procrastinating watching NPR Tiny Desk Concerts on a loop. And I thought, what if we kind of combined her and this idea? So just really talking about also how art, sometimes we think art's just something you hang on the wall, but really Tucson's such an artistic town and we have culinary art. So there'll be two of our favorite food trucks there. Comedy is an art. It is so hard to make a crowd laugh. Like that is an art that you have to learn. Fashion, music, murals, watercolor, macrame. So just kind of getting out there and saying art isn't just one thing. It's everything that we do that's a creative expression, and allowing people to not only view but watch it happen. Everyone's going to be doing live art, so you'll get to see people create, walk in, talk to them, learn about their background, what motivates them, see some of their work on display. A lot of people will be selling their art too. And as always, all of the money goes to the artist should someone choose to buy something.
I love it. One of the groups that will be there is Why I Love Where I Live. They're our Liveline sponsor on Tuesdays and Fridays. So if you want to call in and join our conversation, call in on the Why I Love Where I Live Liveline 790-2040. Where is your hotel located in Tucson? Where is this all going to happen?
So we're at 720 West Silver Lake Road, which is right on the west side of the I-10 and really close to downtown. So sometimes parking can be an issue. We will release Lyft codes on social media today to help people get there. But sometimes what my friends do is they'll park downtown, Uber over, it's about $4, hang out for a while, then continue on downtown.
Got it. That's a great concept. I don't know if I'd have thought about it, but that's why you head up creativity at Hotel McCoy.
I try.
Nicole Dahl, tell us, this is tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Again, you figured out both the getting there and the parking all in one. Who's going to be on site? Who are you? You're excited about everybody, I know, but who are a couple that are going to be participating? Just to give our listeners, this is not a list or top 10 or priority or anything, but just a taste.
Randomly pick some people.
Totally.
So one thing that I'm really excited about is the Lobby Lecture Series. There's four artists that are going to be taking a half hour and to just share their creative process, what made them become an artist, and share a little bit about their art. So that lineup is Ignacio Garcia, who's done a lot of really awesome murals around town, including that really cool pinata one on the UPS building downtown. And Marina of Luna and Saya, she's a jewelry designer, and her story is really beautiful, kind of talks a lot about her, how her family came to America and what motivates her to do something with her life. And who else is up there? Stevie Rose, who is a poet, actress, artist, writer, and she'll be sharing some readings and singing some songs. And then there's Tony Aragon, who is just one of my favorite photographers in Tucson. He hops in his car every time there's a monsoon, chases the storms, and gets those really cool lightning pics that you see on Instagram, and then you try to take and you can never get yourself.
Right. Yeah. For sure. And that's incredible. So there's kind of some things going on in the lobby. You have 10 rooms that are going to...
We upped it to 12.
You upped it to 12.
Yeah.
I'm using an old flyer.
I just threw that at you.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Just upped it to 12.
Breaking news right here.
Breaking news. there was just... We had too many great artists that we were like, we'll add 2 more rooms. I guess one of the rooms that I'm really excited about is the fashion room. Esteban Osuna, when I asked him to be a part of this, I didn't think that he would be able to because he was at New York Fashion Week when I asked him. And he was like, absolutely. I want to be involved with local. So Esteban designs these incredible fashion designs. If you go on his Instagram, Esteban Osuna, you'll see it. And it looks like something out of Vogue magazine. And I just think that's incredible that that's happening here in Tucson. And so they're going to use Arizona Art Fest to debut their fall line, which is really exciting for us. So there will literally be a mini fashion show going on in the room, and they're getting crazy with like decor, and they have models. I mean, I've never heard of a fashion show in a hotel room before, so I'm really excited about that one.
That's awesome. Incredible. It's free for all ages, by the way.
Yeah, it's absolutely free.
Right. Free and all ages. I mean, kids can come, and it's a kids safe event. It's an adult safe event. It's senior, young person.
All ages,
safe event,
literally.
Yes.
I mean, there will be bars, little tiny bars outside, and most of them will have local beer and wine. We actually have a sponsor. We went Rogue. We said Rogue Brewery stays at our hotel when they're in Tucson, and they wanted to be a part of it. So that's the first non-Arizona vendor that we're bringing in, but they came in and they supported and they threw money at this festival. So they're a part of it. And then there will be also kombucha and Jones soda for the younger ones or the non-drinkers. So we have a little something for everyone. Yeah, definitely family friendly.
I'm looking at your sponsors. Borderlands is on board. That Dillinger Brewing is on board. Wild Tonic. I don't recognize the B one, but...
Barrio?
Barrio. Is that Barrio?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to give a big shout out to Borderlands because... S, who's the CEO of Borderlands, I come at him with a lot of crazy ideas, and he's always like, yep, what can we do? And so Borderlands actually came on as our main sponsor. They're sponsoring the Jessica Gonzalez mural room, as well as one of the music rooms. And so we'll be serving their prickly pear wheat and their Tule Avenue IPA. And I'm super excited about that. That prickly pear is really good.
You know, I don't mean to talk this to death for any of my listeners who've been listening straight through the week, but I was in Austin and San Antonio last week, and it actually made me appreciate all the more how much local, how great our local food and artisanship and music and drink is. I mean, we are a gem that we don't even realize we are.
I know. Tucson's amazing. I moved away for a while and I was homesick every single day. It's just, we have such an incredible art scene and it's really accessible and affordable. That's one of the big things about the art that we carry at Hotel McCoy. There's no parameter or rules. You don't have to be established. You don't have to do a certain medium. So because of that, we get art across the board, all different mediums, all different experience levels. But everyone is very talented.
What do you think? Let's spend a minute on this, and then I want to make sure we round the corner with one more call to action so we get our listeners to Hotel McCoy tomorrow, October 5th from 7 to 11. But what do you think the experience Hotel McCoy curates and the artisans and food and drink and creatives that you guys engage, what does that say about Tucson? What makes Tucson special with the work that you do?
Well, I can tell you what our guests say. So we have 90 rooms, so hotel guests coming in and out from all over the world. And all of them say, they'll pull me aside and say, there is something special about not only this hotel, but Tucson. Everywhere I went, people were kind and genuine. And if you ask me what sets Tucson apart from other creative cities, is that we offer a genuine experience. Everyone here who is making art is doing it because that's a passion, a fire inside of them, and they have to, and they want to share it with the world. Everyone who opens a restaurant here they don't go into it being like, I want to be a millionaire. They're like, my mom taught me this recipe and I want to share it with the world. Like every Tucson business and creative has a story that motivates them. And I think that's what makes us special. We're very collaborative, we're very creative, and we're very caring people. And when people come to Hotel McCoy, they feel that. And that's intentional. And I think that's really neat.
And that's what I really enjoy, and I mean this truly, about what you do, not just for out-of-town guests, but also for Tucsonans, is, and I say them all, you know, a lot, and I'm not hating, but kind of those box hotels, you know, you can find them in any city, all right off the highway. It's, you know, there's a Denny's there and there's a Walmart down the street. I mean, it's, you don't get to see what the city has to offer often, and you go to a lot of effort to curate an experience that shows people what Tucson has to offer, and you create that genuine and authentic experience. And I think it's really great. I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you so much. I always like to give credit where credit's due. And I worked at Hotel Congress for 5 years and I learned a lot there. And they do a great job of creating experience, and they have, their focus is largely the venue. And so I took a lot of what I learned from David Slutz, my old boss, and I kind of went to Hotel Congress University. And I'm happy to do something cool here. And they're great supporters as well.
Trademarked. Yeah. Nicole Dahl, Hotel McCoy, congratulations on 1 year. The event is free. Is there registration? If someone wants to come, what do they have to do to get there?
So Arizona Art Fest is totally free. There is an Eventbrite link, but you don't need to do tickets. All you need to do is get there. When you walk up to the entrance, there will be a table with staff. And we'll hand you a program, wristband you if you're over 21, sell your drink tickets, and then send you on your way. You'll have a map and you can do your own thing. Again, we really advise ride sharing. There's only parking for hotel guests. I think we have 5 rooms left, and you can get 15% off with the code HAPPYFIRST. And then you get parking. Otherwise, we recommend Lyfting, Ubering. There's some street parking around, but our buddies Amazon took a lot of it. So we're down to just a little bit of street parking now.
That is funny. I forgot to mention that Hotel McCoy is also kind of a mid-century design. It's a real throwback to where you might have stayed in the 50s or 60s, right? It's kind of,
yeah,
how you designed
definitely.
It,
so. I just found out that the design of the hotel was done in 8 other cities. So there's 8 other buildings somewhere across America that look a lot like Hotel McCoy with the arch and everything.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Nicole Dahl, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Best of luck tomorrow. Tucson, go celebrate Hotel McCoy and the Arizona Art Fest. So many artists, creatives, good food, good drink, a real Tucson experience in one place, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Saturday, October 5th.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll do this again soon.
All right. Bye.
And Tucson, we'll be back together in just a minute after bottom of the hour news. We'll talk job reports, some TUSD, some Prop 205, Sanctuary City. We'll close out the week with all that. Don't go away. Tucson, welcome back to the program. Halfway through already our Friday show as we wrap up the week. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. The Creative City Show airs 9 to 10 every day, Monday through Friday. We talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future, because the decisions we make in the next 5 to 10 years, I believe, will decide what the next 50 look like. I believe we are in that critical of a moment. It's not the first tipping point moment, nor will it be the last, but I really think that Tucson is on a trajectory where the decisions we do make in the next 5 or 10 years will dictate what the next 50 look like. And that's a huge inspiration for this show. The other inspiration for this show is you. And I know that sounds, on a Friday, but I really mean it. I think the difference between doing a show in a dark closet in my house somewhere and doing it live here in the beautiful 1030 The Voice studios is you. The conversations we have on our live line, sponsored today by Why I Love Where I Live, is a great opportunity to talk about issues in live and real time that matter to you and matter to me. And on Friday, we do a kind of connecting the dots type of show, I call it, where we try to make sense of the week that was. We start the week talking about weekend news, things coming into the week, what's going to shape the news. And then at the end of the week, we look back and do a review and talk about last prominent news items that are important as we close out the week together. 790-2040 is your opportunity to jump in and do that. I want to talk about a recent jobs report. I want to talk about TUSD and then a little bit on Sanctuary City as well, Prop 205. It's pretty crazy to me that ballots drop within a matter of days, and we will officially know who our electeds will be for the next few years for some seats. I think it's actually almost exactly a month. I feel bad I don't know this, but I think it's the 4th or the 5th of November is official election day in Tucson. I should have that off the top of my head, and I don't, so shame on me. But we're right at that point where it's about a month. It is a mail-in ballot, so in many ways, I think for a large number of the city of Tucson population who will jump on those ballots and get them in sooner than later, you know, in reality, a large chunk of this upcoming local election may be decided in a matter of a week or two. So we are coming to the close of it. By the way, I have Regina Romero scheduled to come in next Wednesday and Ed Ackerley the week after that on the mayoral side. So stay tuned for those conversations. Jobless rate reported today reaches half century low. The U.S. economy added 135,000 jobs in September, pushing the unemployment rate down to 3.5%, a half century low. Quoting from LinkedIn summary, by the way, LinkedIn daily rundown. If you're a LinkedIn person, I found that to be a really nice snapshot. I don't use them. I use them maybe a few times a month on the show, but they always do some nice nuggets. So if you're looking for a quick bite in the morning and you're on LinkedIn, consider following the LinkedIn daily rundown. The Labor Department's report showed hiring remaining steady, led by the healthcare and transportation industries. This is national. This year's monthly average for new non-farm payrolls is 161,000, below the 190,000 seen since the financial crisis. Wage gains, too, slowed to 2.9% last month, below the average 3.6% gains seen in the prior year. And I'm not an expert economist, but wages, when there is more full employment, it's my understanding that wages taper just a touch because the supply and demand is a little bit different than if you have than otherwise. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but 3.5%, a half century low was the report in last from last September. So that is good. 50-year low, 3.5%. The other news to get to before we go to our final break of the hour is, I think it's interesting how this works on the show. And I feel like every Friday I say this because I don't plan for these things, but it just kind of happens. So on Monday, we talked with Dr. Gabe Trujillo, TUSD superintendent here in Tucson Unified School District. We had him on for a half an hour to talk about everything from graduation rates and test scores to the family life curriculum. It was an interview that we both agreed was too short, which is always a good conversation to have. I always love it when guests and I say, hey, we need to spend an hour next time. I'm always here for that. So, but we talked to Mr. Gabe Trujillo on Monday. I believe it was on Tuesday. I talked about an article that was written in Tucson Weekly about how to solve TUSD's or to improve TUSD's student success rate. An article written by David Safier, if I'm saying that last name right, that talked about how improving quality of life outside of the school, right, family life, home life, will help TUSD as a whole, which I completely agreed with, and that TUSD's poverty, like the poverty in the area that TUSD provides education in, is a real challenge to the overall success. And I was there, Safier. So trying to get that name right. But my contention there was that there were some policy proposals put out there of how to do that, but I thought that it missed out on core competencies of a community, that it missed out on talking about infrastructure, that it missed out on talking about jobs and employment, that it missed out on talking about workforce development, clean and safe neighborhoods, safe streets. It missed out on kind of the meat and potatoes of living in a good, great, thriving community. So that was Monday and Tuesday on the show, fairly heavy on TUSD. TUSD is not something that I talk about to that same extent. It was just how this week turned out. Yesterday, our own Bill Buckmaster here on 1030 The Voice at his noon hour show. He airs 12 to 1 every day here on The Voice, Monday through Friday, had Dr. Mark Stegeman scheduled. And 5 minutes before, you know, before the show or whatever, I don't know the exact time, but right before, Dr. Mark Stegeman announced to Bill his resignation, and the show took a completely different turn. You can find that on Bill Buckmaster's website if you're interested in listening to it. We broke it here on 1030 The Voice. And it was interesting to get Dr. Mark Stegeman's reasonings as he told them. One was certainly a family concern. You know, I think we forget that the governing board is a voluntary, in a sense, I mean, you get elected to it, but voluntary, and you don't get paid for it, as I'm aware. And so it's a labor of love. He'd been doing it for 11 years, I'm aware, and had some family concerns. But he also mentioned, he was pretty clear on Bill's show, that he felt that there was a window of time, especially when Rachel, and I'm reporting on what he said if you missed it, and when Rachel Sedgwick was elected to the board, he felt there was about a 20-month window that the board would have to enact what he felt were some serious, radical, and necessary reforms. And he was a little hesitant to go through his whole laundry list of what those radical reforms would be. It was one of my question marks that I think Bill Buckmaster actually asked near the end of the interview. But he felt like there was a window to do radical reform. He began to sense that there was not an appetite for as radical a reform as he thought would be necessary. And one of his fears, it was interesting to hear him say this, is he sees the impending charter school expansion within TUSD boundaries. Not TUSD schools, but the development of charter schools within TUSD district, Tucson Unified School District. And while there weren't any new openings last year, his view, his projection is that there will be more, and that TUSD is going to have to rapidly and radically reform certain areas to be able to keep up with the quality of education that charter schools often bring in. And he has a passion for TUSD, wants to see it thrive, but began to feel that there wasn't enough institutional oomph to reform as radically TUSD as he would like to see. And he just felt like he could not be an advocate for the district as well as he needed to be. And so he stepped away. He did mention that this was about a year in the works, that he had informed some of the powers that be he was considering it. The timing was always adaptable, but it was interesting to hear some of his overarching concerns and thoughts for the district. It'll now be up to Dustin Williams to appoint a governing board member to fill out Dr. Mark Stegeman's term, which I think ends in a year and a half or so. I think it's 2020 or 2021. And so that's an interesting shakeup to a board. Although one thing that I think he also mentioned in fairness is over his 11 years, this was the board that he felt meshed the best in terms of the combination of superintendent and board members. He mentioned that he thinks positively of the addition of Leila Counts into the board, that Rachel Sedgwick is a passionate reformer. He felt over his 11 years that this was the best combination of superintendent and board members that he had experienced, that there had been some good things happening in TUSD, but there needed to be more radical, more rapid more rapid reform. And so just interesting as we connect the dots to look back and see how TUSD conversation certainly drove the news on this show, drove the news of the week as it often does, but also ended with a very abrupt announcement on the Bill Buckmaster show by Dr. Mark Stegeman, who just finished up a stint as president of the board, stepped back a few months ago, as was agreed by the board. There's going to be 6-month terms, and Adelita Grijalva stepped in to take on her 6-month term just recently. So there we go. We're going to go to our last break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Sanctuary City. I read the article that Mr. Richard Elias wrote in favor of it. Couple question marks I had on it and some things that I thought would be good to clarify. We're going to talk a little bit 205 Sanctuary City, as it's informally known here in Tucson, when we come back after the break. That'll wrap up our last hour here on the Creative City Show. 1030 The Voice, 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to join the conversation. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back on in. We are moments away from wrapping up our Friday show here. We air 9 to 10 every day, Monday through Friday on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This morning, I want to wrap up. I read through the op-ed submitted by Richard Elias, Pima County Board of Supervisor, about Proposition 205 Sanctuary City. And it's a very short op-ed. I thought I would go through it kind of point by point. And there's a few areas where I don't think that the whole picture is being shared. And so as this is a incredibly hot topic, I think there's a journalistic duty to look at both sides, but especially to talk about areas that aren't being talked about enough or are missing some important parts of the argument. It's, of course, the Sanctuary City Initiative. I'll kind of skip the beginning because it's a summary. I think a lot of us, I'll go through it. Proposition 205, it begins as a citizen-led initiative on the 2019 City of Tucson ballot. Prop 205 provides all Tucson families with equal protection under the law, protects community members from racial profiling, and creates protections so everyone can feel safe in hospitals, churches, and schools. I'm, of course, quoting this article submitted by Richard Elias this morning. A community effort led by local activists put Prop 205 on the ballot. They collected twice the number of signatures needed for the measure to qualify for the ballot, followed all appropriate guidelines, and so on and so forth. So a legal challenge, the Pima County Democratic Party endorses it, so on and so forth. And then it gets into the meat of it, and this is where I want to start. Tucsonans are proud that we are one of the historic homes of the sanctuary movement, where faith groups offered refuge and physical safety for Central American refugees in the 1980s. That sanctuary movement was religiously motivated, but the same values can be enacted secularly to provide concrete legal protections to immigrants. I read that, and the thought that came to mind is the guy who got the sanctuary movement started here in Tucson. So this article is right in pointing out that the sanctuary movement is one of the historic homes. He's been pretty adamant that he is against the sanctuary city legislation, so to speak, as it is written. So the guy who got it started in Tucson doesn't think that the way that this legislation is written accomplishes the goals. So I thought that should have been mentioned. It wasn't. Prop 205 was written specifically for Tucson to ensure immigrant communities are as protected as possible from racist laws like Senate Bill 1070 and the growing menace of President Trump's attacks on immigrants and asylum seekers. I actually am aligned with Regina Romero's position on this. She is the Democratic candidate for mayor here in the general election in Tucson. She looks at SB 1070 and says that that is where the issue lies, that if we want to tackle some of the remaining issues, if you believe there are, with SB 1070, that the solution is not to enact a local ordinance, but it is to tackle SB 1070 at the state level. I've had Regina on my show multiple times. She was on many of our local other programs here on the station and has not wavered in saying that that is the approach that needs to be taken. The other challenge that I just feel like there is in the narrative is that we are we are federalizing and nationalizing an issue at the expense of local application. And so I think that in many ways, the legislation was written to tackle a national issue and a national tone while hitting the kneecaps of our local people and our local enforcement in ways that I don't think in a cost-benefit analysis pan out. So I think Regina Romero is correct that we don't tackle national and state issues by adapting so heavily local application. I think she is correct in her position, and I believe that she will maintain course on that, is my sense of things. Policies, it continues, like those of Prop 205, support safety by creating trust between local police and immigrant communities. Prop 205 does not modify criminal statutes, and it does not limit the ability of police to investigate, detain, or arrest individuals. It simply bars police officers from racial profiling and prohibits first responders from asking the victims and witnesses of crime about their immigration status. These measures build trust without hindering law enforcement's ability to investigate and deter crime. Maybe there is a communication issue, right? Maybe TPD's general orders, which already accomplished all of these elements, this is what is already being done in Tucson. And if there's a blind spot I'm not seeing, call in 790-2040. This is a forum for discussion, the Creative City Show, here daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10. But since the council passed basically general orders to make Tucson an immigrant welcoming and immigrant friendly city, this has been the general orders of TBD. This is how they have been operating under one of the more progressive police chiefs in all of the United States. And I think under the surface, this is a challenge. In that this is already happening in a productive way, and the numbers back that up over the last year and a half. One reason immigrant communities distrust law enforcement officers is because of documented collaboration between local and federal authorities. Local law enforcement agencies have memorandums of understanding with federal agencies such as Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the Border Patrol that specify the local and federal roles in the agency's local activities. Prop 205 proposes that Tucson's memoranda with these agencies include provisions that prohibit the federal agencies from conducting traffic stops within city limits in order to enforce civil immigration laws. Now, what's interesting here is that Tucson Police Chief Magnus says that Prop 205's successful passage in Tucson will not do anything to prevent any of that federal agency stop. That doesn't solve the problem. And in fact, requiring a memorandum between federal and local authorities is not something that most federal agencies, if any, are going to do. And so you don't solve the problem that is seeking to be solved. I think there are other problems that are being created where you create a lack of collaboration between federal authorities and Tucson police when it comes to drug, sex trafficking, and many other things. So I'm not tackling this journalistically from a philosophical standpoint, not tackling it from a partisan standpoint. I think a cost-benefit analysis, both literally and figuratively, because there will be budgetary impacts to Tucson because of if this ordinance passes. The cost-benefit analysis, to me, doesn't line up. Now, we've had Zyra Livier on the show. We've had Ted Maxwell on the show. We've had a balanced journalistic conversation, as we are now, about this issue on the show. I made this comment earlier in the week. I'm a humanitarian. I'm a people first person. One of my good friends, Sammy Hamid, says, "How can you put a price on somebody?" And this is not to say that human safety and human security, it doesn't matter, or that you can put a price on it. I'm not separating, you know, the data from the humanity of this situation. But I think when you look at the whole picture, this doesn't solve the problems that are, even in this article, said will be solved. It actually creates less safety and less security for all of our people in the community. And so many of the desired effects are already happening. And I think TPD should be congratulated on that in a country where there's a lot of overreach and overstep by rogue police officers, right? And I say rogue intentionally. You can't paint our local men and women in the police force in our country with one brushstroke. There are rogue elements. I think Tucson hasn't seen the rogue elements that other communities have seen when it comes to the police force. Some people have expressed concerns about a possible negative impact on federal and state funding for Tucson if voters pass Prop 205. So far, cities with sanctuary policies have been successful in fighting the Trump administration's attempts to withhold federal funding, says this article written by Richard Elias this morning. That paragraph, in a very subtle way, shifts away from the state funding question to the federal funding question. I will actually agree that federal funding being withheld from Tucson because of this, if it passes, very likely won't happen. I think it's way more likely that state funding, either through the front door or the back door, will be withheld. And I don't think that we've talked enough about that in Tucson over the course of this, that you can have a serious discussion about whether federal funds will be withheld. But I think it's the state ones that are much more dangerous. Overall, many estimate that could be up to a quarter of Tucson's general fund budget that could be at risk, which is, again, why Regina Romero and almost all of the candidates for council and those who are running for council have said this is not necessarily a good idea, even human rights activists. The authors of 205 specifically drafted it so that it would not violate state law. Arizona has one of those legislatures that is looking for every attempt to poke Tucson in the eye. And so, I think the writers of 205 did a very smart job in many regards. But, our local attorney here and many state officials are saying there's a lot of backdoor ways that Tucson's hand could be slapped over this. Again, cost-benefit analysis from the human side, from the security side, from the funding side. I don't see it adding up. I think that Tucson's current general orders are accomplishing so much of what is hoped, and the problems that are seeking to be solved won't be solved. But I think Tucson as a whole stands to potentially lose big time many resources that we need to create a safe, thriving, prosperous, and sustainable community, which are all keywords, again, that are being used in Tucson. I think why you're seeing a lot of opposition to this. And I don't see opposition from a humanitarian standpoint. No one disagrees that there should be communication and collaboration between citizens and the police. By the way, TPD currently does not involve immigration in voluntary and consensual interaction with our citizens. So that's in there as well. That's our wrap up for the week. I know that was fast, but I wanted to run through it. Bill Buckmaster, as we speak of him, comes in at noon. Doug, Jen, and Victoria coming up. I'll see you on Monday. It's our 2-year birthday show on Monday, 9 a.m., the Creative City Show. Have a great weekend, Tucson. We'll see you soon.